to you from God our Father, from His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit,
who's caused for our learning to recognize the gift of God in His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Our text this morning from the 25th chapter of Matthew. There are two verses in particular, 40 and 45. Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And 45, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. In the name of Jesus. I don't know if he was a superintendent of schools or not. He may have been. But he was a regular visitor to a grade school, announced when he arrived, as he was, after he had visited everybody, had gone to their classes and had conversation with teachers and principal. He told the student body that the next time that he came to the school, he would give a prize to the student with the neatest desk. Oh, goody. He refused to tell them when he was going to come back. Oh, you already got the gist of this, don't you? Yeah. One of the least tidy in the room declared that she intended to win the prize. It's always a good goal. She said she'd clean her desk every Monday. One of her classmates asked, what if he comes back on Thursday? Well, I'll clean my desk every morning, she answered. What if he comes in the afternoon? Well, she replied thoughtfully, I know what I'll do. I'll keep it neat all the time. Adequate preparation for our Lord's return on the day of judgment does, in fact, involve being ready at all times. No question about it. Our Lord in the Scriptures talks to us and all who would hear or read them about Judgment Day. That day will deliver new heavens and a new earth, the Scriptures promise. But it will arrive unexpectedly. Sort of a theme here as we get to the end of the church year and take a focus on the end of things. I have to tell you about my friend Orville, for whose family we prayed together a little bit ago. His wife is Clara. 2 weeks ago, I spent time with Orville in the library, a place I didn't go real often when I was on campus regularly, talking about the seminary. There in the library, Orville and I had a wonderful opportunity to visit. A visit for which I am very grateful. Because on Tuesday night this week, the Lord said, Orv, come on home. And that, in that moment, that sudden moment, his wife was sitting beside him. She got up to go to the kitchen. You've heard these stories all kinds of times. You've even experienced it, some of you. She went to get something for him to drink. He was on the telephone visiting with his granddaughter. And she returned. And he wasn't visiting with her anymore. But the phone was laying there as he was called in that very moment, unexpectedly. Therefore, the caution, the need for preparation. I have no doubt that my friend Orville was prepared. He knew and served his Lord long, long years. I got to know him as a district president of the Southern District, at which time he was living in New Orleans. But upon his retirement, about 15 years ago, he moved back to his home community of St. Louis, which brought him to the library last week. You know what I mean. It comes unexpectedly. For those not prepared appropriately, in contrast to Orv, with the shield of faith, and judgment day will come in darkness, as darkness. And the judgment will be severe and eternal, that is, without end. However, our Lord's apostle makes clear that you, who are in Christ Jesus, are not a people of darkness, but, oh, look at that sunshine, children of the light. Oh, yes, that's what you are. Paul says to us, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. These words reminding us, of course, of Ephesians 6, where it also says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. After all, he continues, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. He gives us what we need, and he encourages us to put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, we might be able to stand our ground, taking up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, to the last part of the 25th chapter of Matthew, in reference to our readiness, the Lord makes clear that the treatment given him is his basis, his standard of judgment. Verse 40, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And again, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Does this mean that faith in Jesus as our personal Savior is no longer saving faith? Legitimate question. And the answer is certainly not. What it does mean, rather, what it emphasizes, is that faith without works is dead, as given us by St. James. Faith does not come alive in works of love, then it is not really faith. All of the orthodox theology, all of the correct beliefs and statements of faith are inadequate, leaning toward worthless, unless they are accompanied by care for the hungry, for the stranger, the sick, the oppressed, the one in need. I don't doubt for one moment, as a visitor to this pulpit, that the man who regularly stands here, or somewhere nearby, as the case may be, has impressed this upon you in many different ways, but in particular, in his care of soon-to-be mothers and infants. Praise be to God. Hear the words of Jesus. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. The people's response, well, surprise. Yeah, sort of like you guys, right? Huh? They said, why did we do this? And later, those who had not done it asked, When did we fail you? Our Lord replies very clearly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. The treatment we give in faith to Jesus through his brothers and sisters will be his basis of judgment. You'll recall that Jesus said to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. And those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire. Today's scriptures talk of eternal things. Eternal life is at stake in this judgment. Since we've been emphasizing that our treatment of Jesus' brothers and sisters is his standard of judgment, are we thereby suggesting that people are saved or lost because they have or have not been kind and compassionate? It's a fair question. Be very, very clear. We are not saying that. For salvation, as you find here in Titus 3, is not on the basis of deeds which have been done in righteousness. The works of love and mercy mentioned in Matthew 25 are said to have been done by righteous persons. Stay with me. The Greek word often translated just or justified refers to the righteousness that God gives to those who trust in his Son's sacrifice for them. This righteousness, in turn, shows itself, makes itself visible in deeds of love and kindness. Righteousness, that is God's righteousness in us, is the cause. Is the cause of service, not a result of it. However, far too often, that beautiful, beautiful grace of God, which we rightfully treasure, is something we also are tempted to hide behind. In our emphasis upon grace, we are often tempted, at least, to escape from the responsibility which grace received brings to our lives. The responsibility, Romans 12, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. The responsibility to be helpful, to give away, to love another, to give up. According to Scripture, this kind of activity is tied inseparably to the requirement of faith. James said, faith without this kind of activity in our lives doesn't exist, isn't real, is dead, is what James said. Well, from 50 years back, I'm serious, and I remember because I was there. They'll know we are Christians by our love. How many times we sang it. In the life of a Christian, actions of love and words of faith go hand in hand. That's right. They are inseparable. Furthermore, and finally, the individual who is thus blessed by God's Spirit with a faith, number one, confident in our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and number two, vibrant in love and service to God's people. That individual is prepared for the return in judgment of our Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And God's people said, may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in that same Lord Jesus Christ. Now, later today, tomorrow, and until that moment when the Lord says, okay, I came, here I am. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give to you his peace. Oh, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Amen.